Okay, we should pray for the message. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us today, and I ask that you would make your presence known to us today, and help us to look for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I wish that Jesus, God, would make himself known more plainly in my daily life. I don't know, you like maybe write something in the clouds on occasion, like, Dorothy, is Dorothy here today? Dorothy, something easily noticed. He is, after all, invisible, inaudible, and untouchable, and I expect you have some of the same questions that I've had over the years. Why do I sometimes feel that God's presence is stronger in my daily life some days than in other days? I can see God all around me in nature, but why is it so hard to feel his presence when I might need him the most? Why is it at times when I seek God, I feel there is no response? I don't know if you have these kinds of questions at times, but I expect you do. Where are you, Jesus? Where are you, God? Sometimes it feels as if God is hiding from me. And when my kids were growing up, we had a book, maybe we had more than one, that we sometimes look at called Where's Waldo? And you have a picture of Waldo on the front of your bulletin, and I have a picture of Waldo. Say hi. Hi, Waldo. Waldo was created by Martin Hanford, and he would draw crowd scenes, and children were fascinated by trying to find this guy named Waldo in the pictures. Let me show you a few of them. Can you give me one up here? Okay, now, see if you can find Waldo. Raise your hand if you know where he is. Oh, we got three or four that know. But rest of you, okay, Dave, give me a point out. There he is up there. Okay, give me the next picture. Okay, let's see if you can find Waldo here. Huh? You know? All right, give it to me. Well, there he is right down there. Waldo, where are you, buddy? Where is he? Okay, show it, dude. Got to have somebody to point him out to, some of us, because we can't find him, really. You see, Waldo is often hidden to the untrained eye. You have to be willing to look for him. And when my kids would look for him and would find him, there was a sense of joy and accomplishment. Finding Waldo is the point of the book. And as the pictures got busier with people, the difficulty of finding Waldo became more pronounced. And the book is good at helping children develop discernment of vision and mental growth. It helps kids become aware of what's going on around them. Now, you can look at those pictures if you're not familiar with them. It takes a while to find good old Waldo in them. Some people are better at finding Waldo than others, and part of what makes it hard to find Waldo is that he is so ordinary looking. Where's Waldo? The Waldo who hides himself. So I want to explore the Waldo factor when it comes to God with you today. You know, God is in your life every day. The scriptures tell us that he is present on every page of the story of your life. He is the most intimate participant in all the events of your life. Sometimes, though, it's easier to find him on some days than on other days. God has various ways to get our attention in this life. But sometimes he hides himself in the pictures of our lives. Sometimes he is hidden from us because our lives are so busy. Kind of like the pictures with Waldo in them, there's a lot of busyness going on in those pictures, and he's hidden because there's so much going on. God is easy to find on some pages of our lives. He's right there in front of us, just kind of like the big picture of Waldo right here on the front of the bulletin. He made himself known to Noah, God did, and Noah worked for 100 years on that boat project. And I wonder, though, if Noah could find or see God on the 51st year, day 235. Maybe not. God showed up in Abraham's life when he was 75 years old. God talked to him, but over the next 25 years, he only showed up a couple of times. In the meantime, Abraham just lived his life. And I wonder if he could find God in the picture of his life 6 years and 154 days into that 25 years after he first saw God in the flesh. The big picture of Waldo. In our lives, there are days when we can clearly find God. On good days or rainbow days, God's presence is hard to miss. On rainbow days, your life is filled with too much goodness and meaning for you to believe it is simply by chance. There are moments and times in our lives when God can be seen, kind of like that big picture of Waldo that I just showed up here, or this big picture of Waldo on the front of your bulletin. Sometimes it can be on a great banquet or an awakening. Sometimes it can be at a worship service like today. You see the big picture of God. Like Waldo pictures, it's easy to find him at times. On rainbow days, God can be found pretty easily. When you're in that God zone, at times, even pesky little irritations don't bother you because you can see God even in those little pesky irritations. It can be easy to take these days for granted as if they will go on forever, but that is really a big mistake. One of the big questions we can ask is, what factors contribute to times when we are spiritually alive and growing, and what's missing when we are dying spiritually and bored and depressed? Every year I try to let God make himself known to me, kind of like the big picture here. I've been going to Panama City Beach now for over 30 years, usually in May when it's still quiet and vacationers are few. And I've found that the veil between heaven and earth is somewhat transparent there, at least for me. It is a thin place between this world and the spirit realm. And I go there to look for God and listen to what he has to say to me. Now, Moses went to the mountains, but I go to the beach, and that one in particular. And I'm looking for Waldo, where he is more pronounced. Sometimes I find it hard not to find God's presence when I am there. I'm looking for God and direction for us as a church. Most of the time I find him, and usually it is in strange ways. It's kind of like looking at those pictures. He shows up in strange little places. And these are rainbow days, and they are a treasure. God is much easier to see in those kinds of days. But you know, life gets busy, and life is busy. And in those daily pictures, it's hard to locate God sometimes. Just like in the Waldo pictures, you have to really look for him. You know, when somebody first becomes a Christian or encounters God in a powerful way, like the great banquet, God fills them with a desire to seek him, and the picture is filled with his presence, you might say. And after a while, though, this picture and the eagerness wears off. God takes away the props, so that we have to begin to build our spiritual lives with intentional actions and devotion when life gets pretty mundane and worldly, day in and day out. Rainbow days become ordinary days. It's harder to find God in the picture in our daily lives on ordinary days. And we fall into a maintenance mode, and life can become very routine. There are no major crises taking place, no obvious life-threatening problems, but there doesn't seem to be any major gains either. And it's kind of like walking across Illinois The land is flat with no real scenery. And sometimes our lives are like that. And involvement in the life of the church can become mechanical too. And you might say we get into a spiritual rut. Spiritual boredom can set in. And if something doesn't happen in our lives, we have a tendency to worry rather than pray about it. God is still present on those pages of our lives. And we can find him if we remember to look, but we're prone not to notice him because our attention is elsewhere. If you look at the history of the people of Israel, and if you think of them like they were just one person, like one life, and take them collectively as an individual, you could see them as an individual life. Now, if you think about their history, the people became God's people as they come out of Egypt. Egypt has always been a picture of the world. And just like us, the people of Israel come out of the world and become God's people, much like we become God's people. And after they come out of Egypt and Pharaoh is defeated and they are given the Ten Commandments and God is teaching them through the wilderness experience on how to live free from the hold of the world, God is present to them in that pillar of fire and in the leadership of Moses and the manna that comes down from heaven every day that they get it. And they go into that promised land in terms of their life. And Joshua leads them as they take dominion of the land. And they gain their place in the world. They're building their kingdom, you might say. And after that exciting era of Moses and Joshua is over. And the Exodus is complete. And the struggle of gaining dominion of the land is settled. And things kind of settle down. There's a telling scripture that describes the condition of these people during the time of Judges. Read with me, I have it printed, Joshua chapter 2, verses 6 to 7. When Joshua dismissed the people of Israel went each to his inheritance to take possession of the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. And all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work which the Lord had done for Israel. And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers. There arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work which he had done for Israel. Now this condition continued until the days of Samuel. Read with me 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. It says, in those days the word of the Lord was rare. The spiritual climate was a drought at that time. And notice it says rare, not non-existence. The people are bankrupt spiritually at that point in time, and you might say that they are in a midlife crisis as a people. The tabernacle, which is the church of the day, is still open for business. Worship and prayers are still happening at their church, but not easily found in all the pictures of the day. God may be present, but people aren't thinking of him quite as often as they did when the miracles were happening or when the leadership of Moses and Joshua would point out God in the pictures of their lives. The heavens may still be declaring the glory of God, but the people are channel surfing. Sometimes the word of God is rare for us too. Sometimes we live lives that look like the picture of Israel. Where's Waldo? Where's God? He is present, but we can't find him, mainly because we aren't really looking for him. And when God comes into our lives, we are intensely aware of him at that first point, but that awareness fades over time. And God becomes very routine, boring even, and so ordinary. And church also loses its power as well. Kind of like when we get new things, like a new bike if you are a kid, or a new car, or a new job, or a new house, or a new church, or a new boyfriend or girlfriend or a new wife or husband. And these things and people will stand out in our lives, but over time they become very ordinary. And the old saying comes into play, familiarity breeds contempt. And because we get used to things, they fade in their importance and we become less aware of their presence. Where's God? We get used to things. We get used to people. We get used to God, and so we don't pay attention until we can't find Him. We simply drift into acceptance of life in spiritual maintenance mode. And we're doing okay in life, and we're pretty good most of the time. I'm doing okay. And we forget that Jesus never said, I have come that you might be okay. Okay is just not okay. We develop a kind of spiritual attention disorder. We put life on spiritual autopilot. Rivers of living waters don't flow as well anymore, and they become stagnant. And then we worship the gods of stagnant waters. Then we begin to worry about money or the job. We get jealous of people more successful or more pretty or more handsome than we are. We pass judgment on people because we are secretly desiring to take God's place in the first place. Where's God in this picture? We can't find Him because, like Waldo, God looks like everybody else. And in some ways, spiritual laziness is worse than flagrant sin in our lives because it is so subtle and it is gradual and it's like spiritual erosion. Which brings me back to the beginning. Finding Waldo in the pictures is about paying attention and using the power of discernment intentionally. Finding God in the ordinary days of our lives requires that we not get lazy, but we pay attention and we work at discernment. So let me raise up an idea to you, maybe, just maybe. Ordinary days aren't ordinary at all, really. Kind of like worship today. In most ways, this is an ordinary worship service, but maybe, just maybe, this isn't as ordinary a worship service as we think it is. Let me give you something to ponder. Whether we're aware of it or not, at every moment of our existence, we are encountering God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God may be trying to catch our attention so that we become aware of the relationship. You know what? I'm a big movie fan, obviously, but when movies are made, they film a bunch of scenes each day. And after the scenes are filmed, they review what was done in those scenes each day. And it's called reviewing the dailies. And by doing this, they can spot discrepancies and mistakes while they can still be corrected before they put the movie together. This idea needs to be applied to our daily lives. Think about yesterday. Think about yesterday in your mind and asking yourself, where was God present in the living of yesterday's moments? People who keep journals are actually doing this when they write about the day's important moments. What happens when you review the dailies of your life? You begin to see patterns emerge. And you can see how God is speaking and working through the days of your life. You begin to recognize God in real time. It's kind of like looking for Waldo. When you pay attention and you look, you begin to see. Ordinary days really aren't that ordinary if you just look at them. But then there do come times when we can't find God, no matter how hard we try. It's as if He goes AWOL, absent without leave. And there are times when prayers seem to bounce off the ceiling in terms of our lives. Sometimes when tragedy strikes or trouble or turmoil fills our lives It feels like God has left us. And dare I even say it, as if God doesn't exist at all. Or, maybe even worse, that he doesn't care at all. God can't be found in the picture at all. And even when we can't find God, he is there, and he's up to something. I know that many of us can witness to that truth. If we think about our dailies and we look back, we may have been in the deep, darkest, dead place in terms of our life because of life's deadly experiences that happened to us, and yet some of us know that he was there all the time because we live our lives forward, but we can interpret our lives as we look backward. He was there all the time. We just couldn't find him. But as we turn the page with a new picture, we see God moving around in the picture, just kind of like Waldo in the book, in all the pictures. I think that God's hiddenness at times is very eternally significant to us. Sometimes not knowing for sure how life is going to work out is very important to us. How life is going to work out is a unique opportunity for growth in faith and internal strength in us. I know that some people just want to know where God is all the time. Sometimes there's a lot of good in not knowing things. Not knowing doesn't mean you're condemned to fretting and worrying. Not knowing calls for trust. And trust is very important to our relationship with God. In fact, it is essential to that relationship. So I want to say, welcome to the human race, folks. It is eternally significant that we not know the final score in the days of our lives. If we know the score, we wouldn't live life with a desire to not only win the game, but finish it well. Think about some, if the two teams are playing football, go into the game and they both know how it's going to end. I don't see a whole lot of enthusiasm there. You know, if you're looking for certainty in this life, you're out of luck. You can walk by faith, but not by sight. Not down here anyway. If you always find God with great ease in your life, it may not be God that you found either. Just like Waldo, sometimes we can find him fairly easy. Sometimes it's really hard to find him in those pictures. You have to trust the author of this life. Trust is so important. You have to believe that God has a good reason for keeping his presence subtle. It allows us, folks, to really look at our lives and to discern some things that aren't readily obvious. I kind of like those pictures of Waldo that were up here just a couple minutes ago. I'm up here pointing out God in some of the pictures of life to let you know that he is in the pictures. But when it comes to your day-to-day life, you have to find him yourself. Let me assure you that God wants to be known, but not in ways that kind of overwhelm us. God is kind of like a person who clears his throat while hiding and so gives himself away. You never know where he's going to turn up or whom he will speak through or what unlikely scenario he'll use for his purpose. Read with me John chapter 20, verses 11 to 16. Here we go. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Saying this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Mary Magdalene was looking right at Jesus, but thought he was the landscaping service dude. God is often present, But the Bible lets us know that he often shows up in unexpected places and unexpected ways. He travels incognito a lot of the times. He is the master of disguise. When God came down to us, he looked like us. It's as if he came to us like Waldo. He looked so ordinary. He had no majesty that would grab our attention. He was just like us. In fact, he was called despised and rejected by men. So God came down and was born in a stable. He got a job in the construction industry, building things 8 hours a day. God was on every page, but no one recognized him. So God has come down into your life. Where's God? He's hanging out where you least expect him. He's right around the next corner in your life. He's anywhere people are willing to look and really look for him. Why? Why, he's right here in this room right now. He's closer than you think. So pay attention. Check out the dailies of your life. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would speak to all of us. Make your presence known to us, or at least make us pay attention. In Jesus' name, amen.